Today's shir is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Beis, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis at the Gemara at the Banam of the Amid. Amid Shmuel, so taught the Gemara, the Shmuel taught us, Ro Shirat Zachreim. If the Edim who have testimony to offer saw that the person who wants them to say testimony on their behalf, Rat Zachreim, is running after them with the intention that they should be able to offer the testimony. Amaloy, and they say to this person, Matarat Sarchreinu, why are you chasing us? Shvur she'enonim yudemuch edus. We could say a shvur that we don't know edus on your behalf. But Turim, they don't have this, even though it's what they said is untrue, it's not a situation of shvur se'edus. Actually, Yishim Rupiv, because it's not considered a situation of shvur se'edus unless they were demanded by this person to say edus on his behalf. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalon, what is Shmuel coming to teach us? Tanina, this is a Mishnah we're going to learn on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. Shilch biyar avdoi, if somebody sends through his eved, or she'emalan had nitva, or the person who says who is being money's asked from, mazbi ani alechem shematam yodim li edus, that I make you swear if you know edus, to give an offer that edus, halachas harayli paturim, they are not, it's now considered a situation of shua sa'edus, ad until we have until the person who needs them to say edus on his behalf comes and demands that he say the edus, and anything other than that is not going to be considered a situation of Shavuos Eidus. So if that's the case, why does Shmuel have to say it? And we've made this point in previous shiurim as well. The point that we made is that if you're not asked to say by the Toveya Eidus, it's not considered a case of Shavuos Eidus. And if it's a Mishnah, there is an expectation that Shmuel the Amora is well aware of what it says in the Mishnah, and he isn't here just to repeat what was already learned. He isn't here to repeat what was just learned in the Mishnah. And so, Digmar Ratzachrei Mester Ritzchulei. What Shmuel is coming to teach us is the halacha of the Toveya running after them. Because Salkadat Chaminam, we might have thought, Kivin Ratzachreim, since the Toveya is running after these Edim, command the Amalu Dami, it falls into the category as if he explicitly said to them, say edus on my behalf. Kamashmalan, that's what Shmuel is coming to teach us, that the definition of him saying to them, say edus on my behalf, is when he actually made that claim. Anything other than that is not considered that he asked them to say edus. Ask the Gemara. For Namitanina, that also is included in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Shavuos Eidus Ketzad. What is Shavuos Eidus? Amal Eidim Bavi Dinu. He said to Eidim, come and say testimony on behalf. Shavua Amar. So the Mishnah is clearly teaching us that it's only considered a situation of Shavuos Eidus if he explicitly requested that the Eidus be said on his behalf. In. Only then is it considered as if he asked them to say Eidus on his behalf. Loi Amar. But if he didn't explicitly ask for that, Loi. Answers the Gemara. The Mishnah is coming to, what Shmuel is coming to teach us, Amalav Dafka, that even though the Mishnah used the word Amar, we might have thought that that word Amar is not to be taken literally. Dilai Teimahachi, if we won't say that the word Amar, if we're going to say that when the Mishnah uses the word Amar, it is to be understood that the Mishnah means that it specifically that way and no other way, Gabad Kodin, we're going to learn the halacha of Shavuos B'Kodim, the Ktani, that the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav teaches us on Daf Lamed Vav, the Ktani, Shavuos B'Kodim Ketzad, how does a Shavuos B'Kodim work? Amalei Tenli B'Kodim Sheish D'B'Yotcha, where the person comes to the other person and says, give me the B'Kodim of mine that you are holding. Hachinami, will we say that it's only in a situation, Amar, where he was told, give me the B'kodin. Loi, but if not, if he wasn't specifically asked not, the the Ha, when the Torah speaks about the Parsha of Shavuos B'Kodin, the Pasuk says, Nefesh Kisechta Mol Amal B'Hashem, V'Kichesh B'Misai B'Kodin B'Chumash Yad B'Gozal O'Ishik Asamisai, when the Pasuk says, V'Kichesh B'Misai, this person who is holding on to B'Kodin denies it, it says V'Kichesh, it doesn't speak about how strong the denial has to be made. Kol Dehu, it just means that he made a denial. Alavadi Omar. So even though the Mishnah over there, when it speaks about Shavuos HaBikodin, does use the word Adon, Omar, in Lav Dafka, it's not to be taken that literally. Hachinami, so too, by Shavuos HaEdus, will say that Omar Lav Dafka, and that's what Shmuel comes to say, that no, by Shavuos HaEdus, Omar means Omar. Says the Mahaimai, it's difficult to follow this line of reasoning, because it explains the Gemara. If we'll say that the Omar that's said by Shavuos HaEdus is very specific. Tana Hasam. So that's why even though by Shavuos B'Kodin, the Omar is not to be taken that literally. The Mishnah used the word Omar, Ata Hacha. Since by Shavuos HaEdus, the Mishnah used the word Omar, so to remain consistent in its language, it used the word Omar over there as well. Eli Amrit. If we're going to say Loi Amar da Hasam, Dafka, not the Amar that was said by Shavuos B'Kodin is to be taken literally, and Veloi Amar da Hacha, and the Amar by Shavuos Edus also should not be taken Dafka that literally. So the question obviously is Amar v'Amar Lamele Misna. Why does the Mishnah keep on using a word that isn't there for a strong purpose? Answers the Gemara. That isn't such a strong argument. Maybe the Mishnais keep on using the word Omar, that the Edom were approached and were asked to say the Edus. The Baal B'Kodin was approached to offer his B'Kodin, because that's usually the way requests are made. But that doesn't mean that it should be taken necessarily literally. It says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Shmuel, there's a Braisa that supports what Shmuel said. The Braisa says, Ruach Baruch Reim. If the Edom see that the person who has a claim is running after them, Amaloi, and they say to him, Mata Bahrain, why are you following us? Shuash Enonim Yindulcha Edus, we could swear that we don't know Edus on your behalf. The Lochi is Peturim. Vim Bibikodin, and if the situation were Bikodin, we're there, Yechai Feshvus Bikodin, even if it wasn't a reaction to a claim, therefore, it doesn't make a difference if you were asked or you weren't asked. In all case, if they make a false shvus b'kodim, they're going to be chayovim. We learned in the Mishnah, Hishbi'aleim chamisha pamim, if they made the shvus edus 5 times out of Bezdin, and then when they come to Bezdin, they're hoidu, they admit that what they said was untrue, the p'turim. Ask the Gemara, menalam from where, so that means that something, that any denial that took place outside of Bezdin doesn't count towards being a Shavuos B'Kodin. Ask the Gemara, Menolan Dakfir B'Bezdin D'Mechayiv, that they're only Chayiv for something that took place in Bezdin. However, Achutz to Bezdin, whatever happened outside of Bezdin, Loi Mechayivi. Answers, the Gemara Amakra, the Pasuk by Shavuos HaEdus says, Nefesh ki sachtav, sechtav, shama kalala v'eir o ra'a yada, im lo yagiv v'nasa avaynay. Loi amarti l'cha, the Torah says, I did not teach you the parsha of Shavuos HaEdus, only in a place where the Edom say their testimony, and based on their testimony, the person will be chayiv, which means only in Bezdin. Outside of Bezdin, this wouldn't be able to take place. So Papa asks Abaya, if you're correct, and from the Pasuk you're learning that only in Bezdin, Ema Shvua Gufa. So if that's the case, that the Torah is saying that this only takes place in Bezdin, so why are we saying that the denial has to be in Bezdin? Why don't we even say Eim Shvur Gufa Bezdin, that the Shvur itself also has to be only done in Bezdin? And if the Shvur was done Shloi Bezdin, that won't be considered a situation of Shvur's Heidus. And the way I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara, is the Ritva explains the wording Ihachi is sort of troubling. It has the hihachi is not connected to the teretz. He's saying the way to understand. He says the way to understand the Gemara is if the Gemara had not taught us that the shvuah has to be in Beis Din, so then we would understand that even things that happen outside of Beis Din maybe have validity. But now that we see that how important of a place Beis Din plays in the case of shvuas pikadon, so legitimately ask the Gemara so that everything should have to take place in the Beis Din. And why, if the shvuah part was took place outside of Beis Din, do we take that in consideration? Answers the Gemara Lo'sakadata. It doesn't make sense that the shvuah also has to take place in Beis Din. The Tanya, because the Braisa says in the parasha of Shvuas Eidus, V'hoya ki yashem lachas me'elo, V'svada shechot alea, la'achas chayva kalachas achas. The Torah, by using the word la'achas, is saying that you can be chayva of multiple shvuas. Now makes the Gemara's point. V'sakadata, if you're going to say that the halacha is that the shvuah could be take place only in Beis Din, but Beis Din mechayev kol achas v'achas, can there be a circumstance that you'll be chayev for every shvuah that was done in Beis Din? For Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah, hishbi aleim chamish upon be Beis Din v'kafru, if they made five shvuahs in Beis Din and denied each time, and then they denied and admitted that they were wrong, and chayev al achas. And Rav Shimon explained, matam, what's the reason that even though they did this multiple times, they're only chayiv one? Because when we speak in Beis Din, there's a halacha of kivin shehigit shuv ein chayzer m'magid. Once you said testimony, it can no longer be retracted. So if they said a shvuah in Beis Din, there's no way to say another shvuah. But yet the Torah is teaching us you could have multiple shvuas. Alav shmamina. How do we understand the pasuk? Shvuah chutz leBeis Din. So when it took place outside of Beis Din, and there is no halacha of kivin shigit shuv ein chayzer magid, that's when you can have multiple shvuas. And chutz shmamina shvuah chutz leBeis Din. But the kfira has to be when the pasuk taught us earlier that has to take place in Beis Din in Moyagid v'nasa avaynoi. That part has to be done in Beis Din. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Kafr Shneim Ka'achas, if the two Eidim were approached and they both at the same time denied, then the halacha is the Chayovim. But ask the Gemara, that means when the Mishnah said that it happened at the same time, it means the exact same time. How could we say that two things happened exactly at the exact same time? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Hamani, who was the Tan of our Mishnah? Rav Yosef Glili. He reflects the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili. Dama Eshel Tzamtzim. It's a Gemara Masechta Becheiris. The Gemara Masechta Becheiris, Daf Yud Zayin, Aben Aleph, teaches us if you have an animal, a kosher animal, a sheep that never had babies before, and it had two babies, and now the question is, of course, the firstborn baby is a Bechor. But here, she had twins that came out at the exact same moment. So which one is the Bechor? Rav Yosef Glili says both. Because Rav Yosef Glili's opinion is Efshel Tzamtzim. And it is possible for both of these babies to have been born exactly at the same moment. The Chomer hold that it's impossible for two things to happen at the exact same moment. And therefore, one of these two babies is the Bechor and one is not. And therefore, what do we do? We wait till the animal, both of them become balimum, and one of them should be given to the kohen. So our Mishnah that says that the two Edim denied at the same time, presumably is following, says Rav Chisda, the opinion of Yosef Glili, that says that two things could happen at the exact same time. Says the Gemara of Yochanan, no, I feel a tame Rabbanan. Rav Yochanan doesn't want to explain that our Mishnah is locked in to following the opinion of Yosef Glili, which is a difficult opinion. Rather, the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan, and even that hold Efshel Tzamtzim, that two things don't necessarily happen at the exact same time. But the way to understand the Mishnah is Shekafru Shneim Toich Kedei Dibur. There's Aloch throughout Shas that Toich Kedei Dibur. Anything that can happen in the time of saying Toich Kedei Dibur, which we're going to learn in a moment, is the amount of time to say Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Yemairi. It's considered to happen at the same time. And therefore, we're going to explain the two Edim said their Fira within Tarkadei Dibur of each other, and that's why it's considered as if they did it at the same time. The halacha of Tarkadei Dibur, which is a common halacha that we learn, what is the basis of the halacha of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami? So there's two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that somebody's saying something, and while he's saying it, his Rebbe passes by. So the halacha requires that as his Rebbe is passing by, he should have the opportunity to say to his Rebbe, greet his Rebbe, as the halacha requires. And that's what Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami means, that you have to be given the time to make that interruption and then go back to what he said. That's one pshat in the Rishonim. The other pshat in the Rishonim for Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami is a much more fundamental understanding. Their understanding of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami means that you always have to make sure that something should be given a little time to say it and do it. People have to be given a little extension to what they do. And that's why there's halacha of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami. The interesting point is that we know that this rule of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami is presumably a rule midrabbanan. If that's the case, that's the rabbanan, and midaraisa, there wouldn't be a concept of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami. That means, let's say somebody made a neder ashua, our sugyas. He made a neder ashua, and then afterwards, he retracted in the time of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami. The halacha would be that he doesn't have to keep the neder ashua, even though that would be violating a deraisa, not just a deraisa, but could be violating a deraisa of kum vaseh. And because of this question, the Ran suggests that the halacha of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami is much stronger than we thought, and that the halacha of Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami is to be understood, says the Ran, that it's a din midaraisa. And the way to understand that is that because a person has to be given a little chance and a little time to change his mind. Amalei Rav Acha bar Difti l'Ravina Michti Tarkadei Dibur Kamahav. As we said a moment ago, what is the length of time Tarkadei Dibur Kamahav Kadei Shels Tama l'Rav? The amount of time to say to greet a Rebbe, Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, or Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Meiri. But the Gemara is assuming that what happened here was that the first aid said his kfira, and then the second aid said his kfira. And therefore, the question is, that second aid's kfira ended after the time of saying Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Yomairi. So, how do we understand the Mishnah? Amalei, what happened here was the two Edom started speaking together. As soon as the first one finished saying what he had to say, he began, the second one, if he started saying what he has to say, of when the first one finished, it's considered in halacha as if they both spoke at the same time. And therefore, the halacha of Tarkadei Dibur is very understandable. But we learned in the Mishnah, if the two Edom did not deny at the same time, so the Rishon Chayiv is in the Sheni's Potter. And the reason is that once the first one denied knowing anything, so he's out of the picture. So the second aid is only an aid yochid. He's only an aid that's saying testimony by himself. And the halacha is that an aid who says testimony by himself is really not much of an aid. And since he's not much of an aid, that's why his aidus is not something that we're going to be very, very meaningful, and that's why it's not Shavuos Aedus. Says the Gemara, Masnisit Loikai Tana. So our Mishnah says the Gemara, doesn't follow this Tana. The Tanya Mishbiya Eid Echad, Potter, that as we just explained, by one aid, there is no point of Shavuos Eidus. Reb Lezer b'Reb Shimon Mechayiv, that there's even a halach of Shavuos Eidus by one aid. Because if our Mishnah is following that opinion, the fact that he has been left with one, just being one aid, should not exclude the parsha of Shavuos Eidus, says the Gemara. What is the basis of this machloikis? If the parsha of Shavuos Eidus applies only by two aid or even by one aid, says the Gemara, Lemba Hakam, the Gemara suggests that the machloikis is based on the following. The Masover, Eid Achad Kiyasa, what is the power of an Eid Echad? L'shvuah d'kasa. His power is to create that someone should have to make a Shavuah. Or Masover, and therefore, for that's not a claim of Mominus. And if it's not a claim of Mominus, there is no din of Shavuos Eidus. Whereas Masover, Eid Echad Kiyasa, even when you have just an Eid Echad, L'mamayna Kasa, he's coming to say testimony as far as Dini Mominus. And since he's coming to say testimony as far as Dine Mominus, therefore the Pasha Shavuos Eidus would be applicable. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, can we say that Rebbe Lezer holds that even one aid has a moment, has a financial obligation? V'amar Abaya asked the Gemara, hasn't Abaya taught us Hakamoidim be'eid Saita? There's a case be'eid Saita that everybody agrees will be a situation of, Shavuos Eidus, or Machloks Be'eid Saita, Vakamoid Be'eid Saita. There's going to be another case of Eid Saita that there's no din of Shavuos Eidus. There's a case of Machloks Be'eid Saita, where there's an argument, what's the Locha Be'eid Saita? Hakamoid Be'eid Echad. There's going to be a case that everybody agrees that by Eid Echad we say Shavuos Eidus. Hakomoidim be'eid shekonek d'choshe l'shvuah, as the Gemara is going to explain. And there's a case where there is a machloikis by where one aid is trusted and one aid is not trusted, that we speak about aid, Shavuos Eidus. As in that, we speak about Shavuos Eidus in that situation as well. And the Gemara explains itself. So, but we see here that by Eid Echad, it seems that if there's no Mammon element, everybody agrees there's no Shavuos Eidus. El the Kul Alma, says the Gemara, correct. Eid Echad Kiyos L'Shavuos Kasi. All an Eid Echad could accomplish Midaraisa is make a Chi of Shavuah. V'hocha, what is the Machloikos of Tanakam Rebbe Lazar? Mas sover that what does that Eid Echad create? Because the halacha is that if the person will not make the Shavuah, then he's going to end up having to pay. So even though it's not directly a cause of payment, it's an indirect cause of payment, and that's enough to make it be considered like a case of Mammon. Or Mas sover, and the other Mandamar holds that Lav Kamamon Dami. And the way I sort of Ritva explains the Gemara, that everybody, that there's a machloikus throughout Shas, if Davar Garamam Kamam Dami or not. Our Gemara is saying that even the opinion that by in all of Shas holds Davar Garamam Lav Kamam Dami, that isn't the subject here. The subject here is it enough for the Pasha of Shavuos Eidus to be applicable? And for that, all we need, says this opinion, that should be a Dover Garim L'mamim. And now the Gemara delves into what we just learned. Guf Amar Abaye, Hakamayin Be'eid Saita, V'Hakamayin Be'eid Saita, Machloik Be'eid Saita, Hakamayin Be'eid Echad, V'Hakamayin Be'eid Echad Shneg D'chash L'Shvuah. First case, Hakamayin Be'eid Saita, what is the Gemara says that everybody agrees that there's a parish of Shavuos Eidus by an Eid Echad B'Saita. It's talking about Be'eid Tumah. The husband warned the wife in front of two Eidim, don't remain alone with this man. And then two Eidim came and said that she was alone with this man. And then one of them says that not only was she secluded with him, but she had relations with him. That's what's called an Eid Tumah. That the halach is the Rachmana Hemna. that the Torah HaKadosh says that in this case, we believe in Eitz Saita. And as Rashi explains, that even though we know B'Chol HaTorah Kula, we do not accept the testimony of an Ed HaEchad, here we do, because there was Kinui previously. And because there was Kinui previously, that gives the Eid Echad much more Nemanus. The Rachmana Hemni, the Ksiv, the Torah says, V'shachav ish oysa shechva zer v'nelema ein isha, v'nistra v'nitma, v'eid einba. There was no Eid at all. Seemingly, the Gemara is teaching us that kol sheyeshba, as long as there is one Eid, that Eid will be believed. And if that Eid is believed, what does that mean? The husband won't have to pay the ksuba. And if this one aid that is here refuses to say his aidus, he's causing the husband a direct financial hit that he's going to have to pay, that he will have to pay the ksuba that he wouldn't have had to pay otherwise. Hakam oidim be'eidi soita. There's a case where you have two aidim. Shepotter, that even though there are two aidim, it's potter be'eidi kinui. Even though the halacha is that if two Edom say there was Kinu, then Amonim, here not, because it's only a Garim Amonim. Because even if the two Edom were to offer the testimony, even if they were to offer the testimony that the husband warned the wife, that alone wouldn't make him be chai for anything. You still need to have Edom that there was Stira. And even when you have Edom Stira, it's not direct, because she has to still drink the Mayim Hamarim. So therefore, the two Edom, who know about the Kinui of the husband, are very far removed from the Mammon. It's the Rishonim explains, Sadova Agoyrim Hagoyrim. The Kinui leads to Stira, and the Stira leads to drinking the water. Since it's so far removed, everybody will agree that that's not a case. Even if you hold Dova Agoyrim Hamarim, this is not a case of Dova Agoyrim Hamarim Dami. Says the Gemara, what is the case? What is a machloikis? Beidus Saita, Beidus Stira. Where a husband did kinui to his wife in front of two Edom. In front of two Edom, the husband warned the wife, don't be alone with this man. And then two Edom, if the two Edom saw her alone with this man, and the husband wants them to swear to that effect, and they deny, so that's where we're going to have the machloikis of the Chachamim Reb Elezer. Masover, Reb Elezer is going to hold that this is a situation of Dabar Gairel Mamakam Mamidami. Because the aid that saw that she was alone and doesn't say so, if he would have said so, so the woman, perhaps out of great fear of having to drink the Mayim Hamorim, would have admitted, or would have just said, let me out of this marriage. And the husband would not have to pay the ksuba. And therefore, then this aid not saying what he saw is chayiv, because he caused, maybe not directly but indirectly, a loss to the husband. That's why it's considered a dova hagarim lamamin. Or masav the chum hold laf kamam dami. It's not a direct cause of loss, and therefore, since it's not a direct cause of loss, the halacha will be that he doesn't have to. It's not considered a case of shuas aedus. Abaye continued saying, the halacha is that if somebody says to someone else, you owe me money, and the person who says, I don't owe money, has to swear and won't have to pay. But if he doesn't, that means that I have one aid backing up that somebody owes me money. So the halacha requires that that person now has to swear that he doesn't owe me the money. But if the person is a person, as the Gemara is going to see, that can't say shvur, can't make that shvur, that could cause a direct loss. And the next case is Hakam Moed Nebe Eid Echad the Rebaba. And the Gemara explains itself. Hakam Moed Mekshinek Dechayim Ashvur, Dechashin Man. So the Gemara analyzed what was meant here. Ilayim Dechashin Loiva, that the Malva is demanding that the Loiva make a shvur. Domalei Malva. And the Malvah tells the aid, "E osu sadisli, if you would have come and testified on my behalf, have the mishtabina v'shakilna." Because the halacha is, if the loiva can't swear, the Malvah swears. And here, if you would have come, that's what would have happened, I would be able to collect. But why shouldn't the A be able to say the malva miyema de mishtabes? Who says that you would have sworn? Only if we're certain that you swear, then it would be, then we could say that I caused you a loss. It's, since it's not certain, it's not more than a davar garim lamamin. It's not a direct financial hit. And we're saying that that's a machlokes, if that is dinamominous, and will shvus ha'edus apply there? Ella, says the Gemara, the case here is shishneim chshudim. The malva and the loiva are both people that we don't trust. Domema, the halacha is, chazra shulam chuyiv loy. The halacha is that if there's an eid echad, the loiva swears. If the loiva is not trusted, then the malva swears and collects. If the malva is also not trusted, then the halacha tells us the loiva has to make the shvua, but mitoch she'ena yochel shaver, but the halacha does not allow him to swear. And that's why mishalim, and that's why since it's a case, so that's why everybody will agree that in this case it's a real mumminous case, and that's why it's a subject to the halacha of shvuas eidus. The next case was hakamoyin be'echad Rab Abba. Says, now, what is the situation? The hugavre the chotav nask mechavre. There was somebody who took a bar of silver from someone else, and also the kamei the Rav Ami. The victim came to Rav Ami to bring to justice the person who grabbed the silver away from him. Have Yasser of Abba kamei, and Rav Abba was sitting there as Rav Ami received the shaila. Also chaysadid the chrech of chatrunay. So the victim brought one aid that saw that this individual grabbed the silver away. Amalei, and the person who grabbed it said, in chatfi, I did grab it, but the di chatfi. But what I took was something that really belonged to me. I just took my silver back. Amar of Ami, heichel l'dayne d'ayne l'haydina. Now, Loch now requires us to analyze how should we deal with this situation. L'shalim, should he have to pay? Because we're going to say that if somebody grabs something away from somebody else, he's not believed. And we say you're a ganef and you have to pay back. Says the Gemara, Lekatrei Sadi, the Anu Tu Edim that saw this person grab it away. And since there's nobody that saw it, even though he's admitting that he took it, he should be believed with a migui that he could have said he didn't take it. Lifterei, should we let him off the hook altogether? Hekahat Sadi the Mikhtav Chatev. There is an aid that this person grabbed the silver. L'shtaba, should we tell him to swear, which is normally what the halacha tells us to do when there's an aid echad backing the claim against you? Since he is admitting that he took something, so that puts him to the category of a possibly being a gazlan. So he's not a full-fledged gazlan, but he... there's a concern there's a gazlan, and the halacha is you can't make somebody who's a possible gazlan swear. Amalei, Rav Abba, so Rav Abba said to Rav Ami, so we were stuck here. Havle mechui shvua. So this person has to make a shvua, which he can't make. He can't make the shvua that he didn't take it. Ve'ni yochel l'shava. Kol mechui shvua ve'ni yochel l'shava. The halacha says that anybody who has to make a shvuah and can't actually make the shvuah, mishalim. And therefore, if the eight echad didn't say what he should have, it could have said, that's why he's considered as if he said something regarding mominus, and that's why it's a subject to shvuah sa'edis. Amar of Papa Hakamoydim be Eidim Misa. Everybody who agrees by Eidim Misa that somebody saw Eidis, that somebody's wife died, that and he refused to say testimony. The wife wants him to say testimony, for like that she'll be able to collect the ksuba, and he refuses to say testimony, she'll chayiv. And on the other hand, hakam moedim beid meisa shupater. Mar explains itself. Hakam moedim beid meisa shupater, domla lida. He told her outside of Bezdin, I know that your husband died. However, he never said it in the loyama of Bezdin. In Bezdin, he denies. The reason he's potter is because she could have gone to Bezdin on her own and say, I know my husband is dead. And as the Gemara teaches us very extensively, Masechta Yevamos, that if a woman comes to Bezdin and says her husband is dead, she is believed. and she could collect the ksuba. So the aide refusing to say the testimony is not causing her any loss, because if she wanted to collect the ksuba, she could. The Tanan, Haisha She'emre Meis Bali, if a woman claims that her husband died to Nasei, we allow her to get remarried based on that statement. If she says Meis Bali, we even let her have Yibum if her husband died without any children. What would be the case that it would be Chayiv? He never said it to her. He didn't say it to Bezdin at all. So what happens here is, by him not saying it to her and Bezdin, and if he would have said it, she would be able to collect the ksuba. But now, since he didn't say it, she's not able to collect the ksuba, and that's why it's considered that he caused her a financial loss. Shmamina, but says the Gemara, isn't this a proof that Mashbia Edikarka, that somebody says Shvua regarding something that affects real estate Chayiv? Because the halacha is, we're going to learn a Gemara, if the halacha of Shvua Sa'edis applies by Karka, and from here it seems that it does, because the halacha is that the Ksuba can only be collected from Karka. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof, because Dumma the Tfisa Matatli. Maybe this woman seized Metatlin, and she wants to take them as payment, and therefore it's not a case of karka. The Rishonim say she must have seized it before the husband died, because if she seized it after the husband died, that tfisa is not considered a valid tfisa. Moreover, says the Ritvaz, that even though Al-Gemar says that when we have this din Torah over a ksuba, it's a case of a din Torah over karka, says the Ritvaz, that's only before the Takanas Goyim. As when we learned Masechta Ksubas, we learned that the halacha is that ksuba could only be collected from karka. And that's why Al-Gemar is most understandable, that Al-Gemar says that we have here a din Torah over karka. But we learned also there was a Takanas Goyim enacted afterwards that the ksuba does not have to be collected only from karka. The ksuba could be collected from a tantlin as well. Once we learned that the ksuba could be collected from a tantlin as well, so now the Gemara is very understandable. Since it could be collected from a tantlin, the entire discussion could be, the entire discussion is no longer an issue. It's a regular case of cash, which is subject to Shavuos Eidos. We learned in the Mishnah, Kafir Echad, V'hoyde Echad HaKoyf HaChayif, says the Gemara, let's understand the Mishnah. In a case where we have two Edom, but the Kfir doesn't take place at the same time, the Tavai Kafri, even though both of them are denying Amrit, we've been saying over and over that the Aloch in such circumstances will be that the Rishon is Chayiv Sheni Potter. The reason is because by the time the Rishon was Kafir, the second one, even if he would have said his Edus, it's meaningless. So in a case where kafir echad v'hayda echad mibayir, why would the Mishnah have to teach us such a halacha? Answers the Gemara. The case here is kigan shekafir shneim. They both denied at the same time. And then v'chaza echad men v'hayda. Then one admitted that he did know Edus. B'tayr k'day dibur, which we learned earlier in the shir, any admission that takes place b'tayr k'day dibur is considered valid admission. V'akamashma, the Mishnah is teaching us the Tarkadei Diba Kadiba Dami, and therefore it's considered that the person who backed out is considered as if he was never Kaifer, and therefore the halacha is that it's not considered as if he was, as if he ever was Kaifer, and that's how the halacha, that's how we should view this halacha. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Chisda Mukalehi, according to Rav Chisda, as we learned a few moments ago, who explained the Mishnah, that the first case of the Mishnah, Kafir Shneim Ke'echot Shneim Chayovim, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that says that Efshel Tzamtzim. And now the Sefer is coming to teach us that we say that Alocha, Tarkadei Diba Kadiba Dami. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that explained that the Reish is here to teach us, as we learned a few moments ago, the Alocha Tarkadei Dibur, says, ask the Gemara, Ella Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Tarkadei Dibur, do we need the Reish to teach us the Alocha and Sefer also teaches the halacha Tarkadei Dibur? Tati Lamali, why do we need to teach the same halacha twice? in the Reisha the Sefer Toikud Eidibur? Answers the Gemara. If we only had the Reisha, we would say, Hani Mili, when do we apply the halacha of Toikud Eidibur? When they're both denying. And since they're both doing the same act of denying, that's why we could apply the rule of Toikud Eidibur Kedibur. Aval Kfir Haidah. In this case, one is denying, and one denied and admitted, and the other denied. Maybe we can't apply here the concept of Toikud Eidibur, Kamash Malon, that even in this case, we apply the case, the did of Toikud Eidibur Kedibur Dami. We learned further in Mishnah. Ha'yishnei Kita Eidim. If there were two pairs of Eidim, Kafir Rishona, if the first pair denied, Vakach Kafir Shni, and then the second pair denied, then they're both considered subject to Shavuos Eidus. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, Shni Yitz Chayiv. We understand why the second pair is Chayiv. The Kafir Rishona, the first pair denied, they're the only remaining pair, and since they are the only remaining pair, their denial has very serious repercussions. Ella, but ask the Gemara Rishona, why would the first pair be Chayiv? Their denial doesn't have such significant repercussions because the Kai Mishni, the second pair, is still here to offer the testimony. Amar Ravina, to which Ravina explains, Hachad Ma'iskinan, the Mishnah speaking back again, Shayis Shniya, Kfirasa Rishona, Kerevim and Shasayim, that when the Mishnah speaking about a case where the second pair, when the first pair was denying, the second pair were disqualified from saying Eidus. And the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is that these two Eidim were brother-in-laws to each other. And since they were brother-in-laws to each other, it isn't the case where we have remaining Eidus that we could go to, because we don't have remaining Eidus to go to, because they are disqualified Eidus. But, so then what's the Chiddush? But the case here is with the Shasem Geisus. And the way the Rishonim explain, one of their wives is in a very bad situation. She's about to die. So Madatema, there's Allah arrived Geisus in Lamisa, and therefore we should say that the second pair is imminently going to be able to say Eidus, because one of their wives is going to die. And that wife is going to die, they're no longer relatives to each other. And since they're no longer relatives to each other, they could say Eidus together. And if they could say Eidus together when the first pair denies, they're not doing anything that terrible because the second pair is available, Kamash Malon, that since their wives had not died yet, therefore they're not considered available. And therefore when the first pair denied what they did, they is considered significant because there is no second pair. There's a number of points to make here. Number one, the Rishonim point out that the Gemara is telling us we don't say Roiv Geisus in Lamisa. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, it's not to say that we don't say Roiv Geisus in Lamisa. Of course, the Halacha teaches us that Roiv Geisus in Lamisa. They say as far as Hilchos Shvuos HaEidus is concerned, we don't say Roiv Geisus in Lamisa. Number two, the way Rashi explained, which is the way we learn, the pair of second Eidus are brother-in-laws. And that's why they're disqualified to say Eidus. It has to be a situation that they weren't brother-in-laws when the original act came. Because if, when the first story began, they were already brother-in-laws, then they were never Eidim. The Gemara calls them Eidim. By the Gemara calling them Eidim, it means that at one point they were Eidim, and they came disqualified. What must be happening here is they were not brother-in-laws when they saw the testimony, and that's why they were good Eidim. Then they became brother-in-laws, and that's why they're disqualified. And now one of their wives is in a very bad place, and when she dies, they will no longer be brother-in-laws. But the Mishnah is teaching us, as long as they are still brother-in-laws, even though it's most likely to change imminently, that's considered as if the second pair isn't an available Eidus. And since it's considered as if the second pair isn't an available Eidus, that's why it's going to be considered a situation that the first pair will be subject to the halachas of Shavuos Eidus.